Welcome to this edition of the Fireside Bookshelf. Join our host Ginger Green as she opens doors to the literary world, both past and present, featuring some of the best Christian books pertinent to believers and their pursuit of biblical truth. Each week, she will discuss selected resources which have touched her heart and life, with a hope they will enhance your study of the scriptures and encourage you in your spiritual walk. From foundational Christian truths to marriage and parenting, to understanding the times we live in, Ginger has assembled some amazing Christian authors, and each week we'll explore their works, all designed to help us grow in grace and knowledge in Jesus Christ. And now for today's presentation.
The definition of the word certain is to know for sure, something established beyond doubt. But I think most of you would agree with me that there doesn't seem to be much certainty for the majority of people in the world today. Philosophers have long debated on whether we can know anything for certain, and so much of our society insists that there is no absolute truth because each of us have our own truth. The word assurance means a positive declaration intended to give confidence, a promise, a certainty about something. But this philosophical idea that nothing is true or certain robs us of the confidence that any assurances can truly be found. Not just for those in the world, but within the church as well. This nefarious war against truth and the idea that we can't actually know things for certain has seeped its way into the lives of many professing Christians. Often we know something in our mind, but it doesn't feel very real in our lives, so we question its validity. When doubts arise, usually it's because we have sin in our lives or are out of sync in our relationship with the Lord. One of the most common areas where Christians can struggle is whether or not they are really a Christian. They ask themselves, "Why does my daily walk not match my spiritual talk?" This struggle can be very healthy if it forces us to seek out God's Word and eventually come to a point where we understand God's Word and His promises and realize that we can stand in confidence on both. For some, though, this struggle, for whatever reason, does not lead them to the assurance of their salvation, and they flounder desperately under the weight of their doubts, fears, and uncertainties. If you find yourself in this place, then I hope today's feature will be of great encouragement to you, because it is possible to know for certain that you are saved, to find the full assurance of a settled peace with God. Furthermore, it is God's desire that you have complete peace and confidence in Him, despite any possible uncertainties or doubts. So come be a part, as H.A. Ironside sums up in his book, Full Assurance, how those who wrestle with the assurance of their salvation can finally settle this issue once and for all. In penning these pages, Ironside begins, "I have but one outstanding objective before me. To make as plain as I possibly can just how any troubled soul may find settled peace with God. I am thinking particularly of those people who believe the Holy Scriptures to be divinely inspired and who recognize that salvation is only to be found in Christ, but somehow have missed the peace of perfect trust, and though earnestly desiring to know the Lord, are floundering in confusion." Consequently, Ironside declares, no attempt is made here to prove that the Bible is true, as both the writer and the readers I have specifically in mind take that for granted. If you are bothered by doubts along that line, there are plenty of good books written by sound Christian scholars that present unanswerable arguments for the inerrancy and the divine authority of the Bible. We have featured several books of this type previously on the Fireside Bookshelf, and you can find these past episodes on our Sharon Hart's homepage. The trouble, Ironside asserts, however, is that so many people who profess to want help along these lines are often too indifferent to investigate, even when the opportunity is put before them. It is to earnest seekers after the truth that he is writing to. Ironside shares that for many months he himself was in much doubt and confusion, until God by His Holy Spirit showed him through His Word the true ground of peace. That was many years ago, Ironside recalls. And as I wrote this book, I found myself living it all over again, the conflict of those days. And yet remembering, as though it were yesterday, the gladness that filled my soul when I rested in Christ alone and entered into a lasting peace with God that has known no disturbance throughout the years. The clouds may at times veil my sky. Sorrows and difficulties may try my soul. New discoveries of the corruption of my own heart may bring humiliation and repentance. But this peace with God remains unchanged, for it rests not on me, not on my frame of mind or experiences, but on the finished work of Christ and the testimony of the Word of God, of which it is written, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." In a ministry of almost half a century, H.A. Ironside had the joy of leading many to rest in Christ, and he found that the questions that perplexed and the hindrances to full assurance are all basically alike, though expressed differently by different people. So he sought out in this little volume to set forth, as clearly as he knew how, the truth that has proved basic in meeting the needs of thousands of souls. There is a chapter on the difficulties that hinder full assurance that I found especially valuable. 1 Corinthians 2:2 states, "I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Here is the one sovereign remedy for all spiritual ills. Here is the one supreme message that is needed, whether we realize it or not, by all men everywhere. And it is this that Ironside has tried to proclaim in this work. For most of his life, Ironside was a traveling preacher, often logging as much as 30 to 40,000 miles a year to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. In all those years, he only recalled two occasions where he missed his train. Once, after becoming confused between daylight savings time and standard time, the other was through the passive assurance of a farmer host who was to drive him from the country into the town of Lowry, Minnesota, in plenty of time for Ironside to take the afternoon train to Winnipeg. Ironside recalls how he urged his friend to get on the way, but his friend puttered about with all kinds of unnecessary chores and insisted that there was plenty of time. As Ironside fumed and fretted to no avail, his friend was calmly adamant. Finally, he hitched up his team and they started across the prairie. About a mile from town, they saw the train steam into the station, pause for a moment, and then depart for the north. There was nothing to do but wait 5 or 6 hours for the night express, on which Ironside had no reservation and found when it arrived that he could not get a sleeping berth, so he was forced to sit in a crowded day coach all the way to the Canadian border. While annoyed, Ironside reveals, "I comforted myself with these words, 'And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to them who are called according to His purpose.' I prayed earnestly that if He had some purpose in permitting me to miss my train and comfortable accommodations, that I might not fail to find it out." When Ironside boarded the crowded, foul-smelling coach, he found there was only one vacancy left, and that was a half seat midway down the car, a sleeping young man occupying the other half. As Ironside sat down and stowed away his baggage, the young man awoke, straightened up, and gave him a rather sleepy greeting. Soon they were in an agreeable, low-toned conversation while other passengers slept and snored all around them. A suitable opportunity finally presented itself, and Ironside inquired, "Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ?" The young man sat up like a shot. "How strange that you should ask me that. I went to sleep thinking of Him and wishing I did know Him. But I do not understand, though I want to. Can you help me?" Further conversation elicited the fact that he had been working in a town in southern Minnesota, where he had been persuaded to attend some revival meetings. Evidently, the preaching was powerful, and he became deeply concerned about his soul. He had even gone forward to the mourner's bench, but though he had wept and prayed over his sins, he came away without finding peace. Ironside knew why he had missed his train. Drawing his newly found friend's attention to the words' wonderful depiction of the crucified Savior, though written so long ago before the event, Ironside showed the young man Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 6. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. And like all sheep we have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. As the young man read the words, they seemed to burn their way into his very soul. He saw himself as the lost sheep that had taken its own way. He saw Christ as the one whom Jehovah laid all of his iniquity, and he bowed his head and told the Lord that he would trust him as his own Savior. For perhaps 2 hours they had hallowed fellowship on the way as they turned from one scripture to another. Then the young man reached his destination and left, thanking Ironside most profusely for showing him the way of life. I have never seen him since, Ironside writes, but I know I shall greet him again at the judgment seat of Christ. Ironside prayed that his book might prove a timely message to any needy soul, just as the talk on the train was that night in Minnesota, with the young man who felt his need and had actually turned to God, but did not understand the way of peace, and so had no assurance, until he found it through the written word, born into his soul by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you are just as troubled as that young man, and should by divine providence use this book at any time, I trust that you will see that it is the Lord's way of seeking to draw you to himself, and that you will read it carefully, thoughtfully, and prayerfully, looking at each passage referred to in it in your own Bible, so that you too may obtain full assurance. But be certain of this, God longs to give you the knowledge of his salvation. It is no mere accident that this book has come to your attention. God put it on my heart to write, Ironside proclaims, and I hope these words may prove to be his own message to your troubled soul. God's ways are varied, yet he works all things after the counsel of his own will. Too often we find ourselves striving for assurance because of how we feel, rather than finding assurance based on God's word. A very remarkable statement is found in Isaiah 32:17. The work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. Notice it says assurance forever. Is that not a wonderful promise? Assurance is not for a few days, or weeks, or months, not even for a few years, or even a lifetime, but forever. It is this blessed assurance that God delights to impart to all who come to him as needy sinners seeking the way of life. Two words are employed in this verse that are intimately related: peace and assurance. Yet how many deeply religious people today scarcely know the meaning of either of them? They are honestly seeking after God. They are timely in their spiritual disciplines, such as reading the scriptures, saying their prayers, attending church, and supporting the cause of Christ. They are scrupulously honest and upright in all their dealings with their fellow man, endeavoring to fulfill every civic and national responsibility and to obey the golden rule. Yet they have no lasting peace, nor any definite assurance of their salvation. Ironside believes that in practically every such instance, the reason for their unquiet and unsettled state is due to a lack of understanding of God's way of salvation. The key word of the book of Isaiah, often called the fifth gospel, is the same as in Romans. The word is righteousness, and Ironside urges us to meditate on this word and see how it is used in the Holy Scriptures. Now, a man lay dying. He attended church all of his life, but was not saved. He was known to be a man of unimpeachable integrity. Yet as he lay there facing eternity, he was troubled and distressed. He knew that as upright as he had been before man, he was a sinner before God. His awakened conscience brought to his memory sins and transgressions that had never seemed so terrible until now, when he knew that shortly he must meet his Maker. A visiting friend asked him directly, "Are you saved?" He replied in the negative, shaking his head sadly. "Would you like to be saved?" his friend asked. "I would indeed," was the man's reply, "if it's not already too late." But he added almost fiercely, "I do not want God to do anything wrong in saving me." The man's remark showed how deeply he had learned the value and importance of righteousness. His friend turned to his Bible and read how God himself devised a righteous way to save unrighteous sinners. The fact is that God has no other possible way to save anybody. If sin must be glossed over in order that the sinner be saved, he will be forever lost. God refuses to compromise his own character for the sake of anyone, as much as he yearns to have all men be saved. Psalm 71:2 tells us, "Deliver me in your righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline your ear to me, and save me." God himself has devised a righteous method whereby he could justify unrighteous sinners who came to him in repentance and received his word in faith. The prophet Isaiah stresses this great and glorious truth throughout his marvelous Old Testament unfolding of the gospel plan. In unsparing severity, the prophet portrays man's utterly lost and absolutely hopeless condition apart from divine grace. Sin is a vile disease that has fastened upon the very vitals of its victim. None can free himself from its pollution or deliver himself from its power. But God has a remedy, and he does it not at the expense of righteousness, but in a perfectly righteous way. Remember, Christ was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. But we need to make these verses personal. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. It is not that God ignores our sins or indulgently overlooks them, but on the cross all has been settled. For in Isaiah 53:6, God has balanced the books of the world. There were two debit entries. The first debit entry takes into our account our participation in the fall of the human race. Adam sinned, and we were all implicated in his guilt. The second entry takes into account our individual willfulness. Each of us has chosen to sin in his own way, so we are not only sinners by nature, but we are also transgressors by practice. In other words, we are lost, utterly lost. But the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost, Luke 19:10. By his sacrificial death on the cross, Jesus has paid all that is necessary to meet every charge against the sinner. Now in perfect righteousness, God can offer a complete pardon and justification to all who trust his risen Son. Thus the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. Our troubled conscience can now be at rest. God is satisfied with what his Son has done. On that basis, he can freely forgive the vilest sinner who turns in repentance to the Christ of the cross. Christ's bodily resurrection is the divine token that all has been dealt with to God's satisfaction. Jesus bore our sins on the cross. He made himself responsible for them. He died to put them away forever. Then God raised him from the dead, thereby attesting his good pleasure in the work of his Son. Now the blessed Lord sits exalted at the right hand of the Majesty in the heavens. He could not be there if our sins were still upon him. The fact that he is there proves that they are completely put away. God is satisfied. This fact gives quietness and assurance forever. When I know that my sins have been dealt with in such a way that God's righteousness remains untarnished, even as he folds me to his bosom, a justified believer, I have perfect peace. He has provided a righteousness, his very own, for mankind who has none of their own. Gladly, therefore, do I spurn all attempts of self-righteousness to be found in him perfect and complete, clothed with his righteousness. If my acceptance depends on my growth in grace, I could never have a settled peace, Ironside declares. It would be an egotism of the worst kind to consider myself so holy that I could be satisfactory to God on the ground of my own personal experience. But when I see that he has made us accepted in the Beloved, every doubt is banished. My soul is at peace. I have quietness and assurance forever. If God is satisfied to save you by faith in Jesus, surely you should be satisfied to trust him. Whatever it is that keeps you from the positive assurance that your soul is saved, do not give up in despair and conclude that such knowledge is not for you. Whatever your condition of mind, whatever your trouble of consciousness, whatever your particular struggle may be, God's holy word is designed to meet your exact need. Will you not, once and for all, settle it with God that you will take the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, Ironside asks, and then, in dependence upon the Holy Spirit, search the Scriptures daily, reading prayerfully and thoughtfully, and look to God Himself for all needed understanding. The meek He will guide in judgment, and the meek He will teach His way. Our blessed Lord has declared that if one is willing to do the will of God, he shall know of the doctrine. All that is needed is to take the place of a lost sinner, in humility of mind and contrition of heart, counting upon God, who is not willing that any should perish, to reveal his mind to you through the written word, thus leading on to the assurance of peace with God through Jesus Christ. But Ironside warns, do not be neglectful of the means of grace he has put at your disposal. If you are able to attend somewhere where the Word of God is taught, go as often as you can to hear the gospel proclaimed and dedicate yourself to prayer. Another thing that is very important for anyone desiring divine insight, put out of your life every sin, so far as it is in your power to do, and avoid all that would tend to defile your heart and mind. It is by the Holy Spirit that we are changed, but we do have choices about the influences we do and do not allow in our lives. Scripture tells us, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If you continue to associate needlessly with the ungodly, or to participate in worldly pleasures, all of which have a tendency to harden the heart, you cannot expect to get help from the Spirit of God, who is grieved by all such frivolities. For example, do not waste precious time on trashy and unclean literature. Instead, Ironside urges us to read only what is uplifting and inspiring. Give first priority to your Bible, and then aim to obtain good books, like we featured here today, that will edify and make eternal things more real. It is foolishness to expect the assurance of salvation, and yet neglect the means that God has ordained for making known the riches of His grace. Full Assurance by H.A. Ironside can be found at your local bookstore or online and is currently available in paperback and digital format. And one final note from the Fireside Bookshelf. None of the books featured on this program are ever intended to replace the Bible and the need for immersing ourselves in God's Word on a daily basis. And just because a book by an author is recommended doesn't necessarily mean all books or teachings by an author are recommended. Remember, you, the reader, should always read with discernment. We are grateful, however, to be able to benefit from the research and works of others. And while no book besides the Bible can be all things to all people, our hope here at the Fireside Bookshelf is to present a variety of Christian resources that seek to remain faithful to biblical truth and which provide insights to help strengthen and deepen your spiritual walk.
If today's featured book has sparked your interest or addressed an area of concern for you or a friend, we hope you will consider adding a copy to your library of Christian resources. Nowadays, when busyness seems to be our business, we need to return to the lost art of reading so that we will continue learning more of God's Word and His Son, Jesus Christ, the only one who has the power to transform hearts and minds. The Fireside Bookshelf is a ministry of sharing hearts and can be heard on this station every Sunday at 4 p.m. Past episodes can be found anytime at www.sharonhearts.org. Thank you for joining us, and tune in next week for our next exciting feature here at the Fireside Bookshelf.